I was 8 years old when this happened, and it took place in a quiet neighborhood in Normal, Illinois, in a small town on a street where nothing ever really happened. It was a rainy afternoon in early fall. My mom had gone out to run what she called a quick errand and told me that I would be fine by myself for a little while. I remember sitting on the living room floor with a bowl of cereal, watching cartoons, while rain tapped steadily against the windows. The house felt unusually quiet, and the gray light outside made everything look dim and flat. At some point, the TV screen glitched, the picture froze, the audio warped into static, and then the screen went black. I sat there staring at it, waiting for it to come back on. That was when something red drifted past the living room window. First, I thought it was just a reflection from a passing car or something outside, but then it floated past again, slower this time. It was a red balloon. It moved from left to right, just outside the glass, bobbing slightly in the rain. That was when I noticed that the living room window was not fully closed. It was open just enough for the rain to blow in. I remember feeling confused because I knew I had not opened it, and I was sure my mom had closed all the windows before she left. Before I could decide what to do, the balloon drifted inward. It slid through the opening and floated gently into the room. There was a thin white string tied to it, and something small was attached to the end, a folded piece of paper that seemed like a note. I stood up slowly and walked toward it. My heart was already beating faster, even though I did not yet understand why. I untied the paper and unfolded it with shaking fingers. It only had 5 words written on it. "I am coming for you." I stared at the note for a long time, trying to make sense of it. I thought that the balloon had drifted in from a nearby birthday party. Suddenly, I heard a tapping. It came from the front door. The sound was soft at the beginning, but then soon changed into the screeching of wood, like someone was clawing on our front door with their fingernails. I stood there, all alone in the house. When I couldn't bear the suspense anymore, I screamed, "Who's there?" The clawing stopped. There were footsteps walking away from the door. I kept staring at the door, thinking whoever's on the other side will be banging at it soon. But no such thing happened. I sighed in relief, thinking it was probably a cat or a raccoon, and I spooked myself for no reason when a soft voice called out to me from the half-open window. "Hey, kid." I turned slowly and saw a man dressed like Pennywise peeking in through the open window. His face looked broken, like it was made of dry, cracked stone, and the paint was peeling into his skin. Dark red lines dripped from his eyes like blood, and his nose was wet and shiny. His eyes were yellow and angry, and they stared straight at me like they knew my name. He smiled slowly, almost unnaturally, as if his mouth wasn't meant to move that way, and I felt that if I blinked, he would be inside my room.
"I have a surprise for you,"
he spoke, mimicking the clown-like voice. I didn't wait, I just ran. I dove behind the couch and curled into a ball, pressing my hands over my mouth to keep myself from crying out. I heard the window slide open the rest of the way. The swishy sound of wet shoes touching the floor echoed into the house. He was moving through the house while humming "Itsy Bitsy Spider."
"The itsy bitsy spider climbed up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out."
At this point, I was praying for my mom to come home. The man tried the hallway door. It was locked. He tried the bathroom door. It was locked too. Then, I heard him walk toward the back of the house. I heard the back door handle rattle. I heard him whisper something I could not make out. A shadow passed under the living room doorway. My heart was pounding so hard that I thought he would hear it. I stayed perfectly still. Then, the front doorknob turned. At the same moment, bright headlights flashed through the living room windows. A car pulled into the driveway, and I heard my mom's voice outside. She yelled. The footsteps stopped. I heard a sudden rush of movement. The man bolted out, slamming the back door with such force that the glass cracked and eventually shattered, scattering shards all over the floor. Then, everything was quiet again. My mom burst inside seconds later. She found me crying in the corner behind the couch. I could barely speak. She called the police immediately and told them that she had seen a clown running away from the back of the house. The police searched the area. They found nothing that night. A few days later, they came back. They told my mom that our quiet next-door neighbor had been taken in for questioning. They found handmade clown costumes in his garage, with various makeups and clown masks. The cops also found pictures from inside other people's houses. It seemed like the man was obsessed with clowns and enjoyed scaring unattended kids for fun. He confessed to it, saying it was a prank, but breaking into someone's house while their kid is home alone is definitely not funny. It's been 15 years since that night, but I still remember the sound of his footsteps. I still remember the way he hummed that night. I was 24 years old, living in Boulder, Colorado. My house was on a quiet residential street about 15 minutes from Pearl Street, where my friend Betsy lived. It was a Saturday night, and I was walking home from her birthday party, drunk and tired. The night was cool and clear, and the streets were almost completely empty. Most of the houses were dark, and the few porch lights that were on cast yellow beams on the sidewalks. I remember feeling relaxed and safe, which is something that feels embarrassing to admit now. I had my phone in my hand, scrolling through messages as I walked, when I noticed a porch light flickering on the left side of the street at some distance. It was flickering fast and unevenly, like it was about to die. The light would blink off for a second, and then snap back on again. Each time it did, I thought I saw a shape standing beneath it. At first, I told myself that it was just my eyes adjusting to the darkness and the alcohol, but the shape stayed. As I got closer, the light stopped flickering and stayed on. I realized I wasn't wrong. There was indeed a man standing under it. He was standing perfectly still, staring up at the porch light bulb as if he were studying it or waiting for it to change again. His face was painted in a sad, drooping mask, white skin, a red nose, and a blue mouth that curved downward like he was frozen mid-cry. He wore a crooked little hat and dirty green shirt under a torn coat that looked older than me. The whole scene felt off in a way I could not explain, but I did not want to admit that to myself. I did not want to be the person who panicked over nothing. I told myself he was probably a street performer walking home after a gig. I kept walking. As soon as I passed the house, I heard footsteps behind me. They were slow and careful, like someone trying not to be heard. The sound was soft, but in the quiet street, it was impossible to ignore. I turned around, expecting the clown behind me, but there was nobody there. The porch light behind me was still on, and the sidewalk was empty. A hooting owl flew over my head, almost giving me a heart attack. I felt a spike of anxiety, but I told myself I was just imagining things. I continued walking again. Suddenly, I heard footsteps, and my ears caught up to the sound coming from across the street. I looked, and it was him, the sad clown. He was standing near a stop sign on the opposite sidewalk, directly across from me, and he was facing me, like he was about to walk up to me any minute now. I felt cold sweat dripping down from my head. He didn't move, though. He just stood there, watching me. I watched him too, breathing heavily. Yet he didn't react. He just stayed there. I swallowed and started walking again. He started walking too. I stopped. He stopped as well. I paused for a few seconds and picked up pace, and so did he. That clown was not just following me. He was mimicking me. He never crossed the street. He just mirrored my movement perfectly, like my reflection. I laughed nervously under my breath and told myself it was coincidence, but my hands were starting to shake.
Bro, don't you have anything better to do?
He didn't reply, just chuckled like I said something funny. I screamed in frustration.
Seriously? Are you dumb?
He chuckled again, like a 6-year-old kid laughing at bathroom jokes. I picked up my pace. he picked up his pace. Every time I slowed down, he did the same. I could feel my heart beating harder with every step. I tried pretending I wasn't scared of him, but my face told otherwise. For the next 15 minutes, he continued this facade without crossing the streets. When I reached my block, my stomach dropped, and a daunting realization hit me. My house was on the same side of the street as his. This meant I had to cross. Did he know all this when he followed me? It sent chills down my spine. I stepped off the curb. That was when he changed. He dropped to all fours. He did not do it suddenly or aggressively. He did it slowly, as if he had been planning to do it the whole time. His body bent backwards, not forward. His stomach facing the sky. His spine arched in a way no human spine should bend. His face was upside down, staring at me as he crawled, moving like a spider wearing a human body. I screamed and ran as fast as I could. He was chasing me in that freaky way, while letting out a sobbing cry like he was in serious pain. His crying voice sounded straight out of a horror movie. Even though he was bent backwards, he moved too fast. I knew if I fell down or slowed down a bit, he'd catch up to me. So I ran, and I ran until I reached my porch and fumbled with the lock. I dropped my keys. I picked them up again. I looked back to see how far he was when I saw him stand up. I hurried with the door, thinking now he will be coming and sprinting at me. Right when I unlocked the door, I heard his voice screaming into the night.
You should not walk home alone!
I slid down against the door and called the police with shaking hands. The cops searched the area, but found no one that matched the clown's description. Later, my neighbors told me I was not the first. They said people had been reporting a man dressed like a sad clown stalking pedestrians late at night. I changed address and didn't follow up on whether he was arrested. But till today, I don't walk home alone at night. I've never told this story without feeling uncomfortable, because even now, years later, it still makes my skin crawl in a way I cannot fully explain. I was 12 when it happened, and I was old enough to know when something felt wrong, even if I couldn't explain why. What I saw that night did not chase me, threaten me, or even touch me. It simply watched, and that somehow felt worse than anything else ever could. It all started in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, near my cousin's place outside a little town called Strasburg. My cousin Trevor lived way out in the countryside, where the roads didn't have sidewalks, and the fields went on forever. That night, there was a small traveling fair set up in a dirt lot near Route 741. Nothing fancy, just a Ferris wheel, a few carnival games, and some food stands that smelled like grease and sugar. I spent most of the evening stuffing myself with junk food. Cotton candy, funnel cakes, fries, soda, anything I could convince my aunt to buy me. Trevor kept running off to play ring toss and shoot basketballs at crooked hoops, but I stayed near the food stalls, feeling full and happy at the same time. I was contemplating my decision of whether to ride the Ferris wheel with a tummy filled with junk food when my eyes darted to a single yellow lamp posted by the tree line. There was a woman dressed like a clown standing under it. She had a pale white face with sharp black star-shaped eye makeup, hollow staring eyes, and a small red nose. Her mouth was painted into an exaggerated red grin. Her hair was tied into high pigtails, and she wore a black and white striped outfit with a bow. She wasn't entertaining anyone. She was just standing there, slowly moving her hands like she was trapped behind invisible glass, pushing and pulling at nothing. People walked right past her without reacting, like she wasn't even there. I watched her for a while, because it felt strange. Then she stopped. She slowly turned her head and looked straight at me. Her eyes were dark and flat, and they didn't blink. She lifted her hand and gave me a slow wave. It felt awkward not to respond, so I raised my hand and waved back. She waved again. I waved again too. Then she waved a third time, slower, her fingers curling inward like she was beckoning me over. That's when the feeling in my stomach changed. She just kept waving. I dropped my hand and turned away. I found Trevor and tugged on his sleeve.
There's this creepy clown lady over there,
I said quietly.
She keeps waving at me.
Trevor frowned and looked where I pointed.
Where?
I looked too, but there was nobody there. Only the lamppost illuminated an empty patch of dirt near the trees. We brushed it off. I figured she'd walked away. About 20 minutes later, my stomach finally gave up on me. I felt like I was going to throw up, and I didn't want to do that at the fair. So I told Trevor I was walking back to his house. It was about a 10-minute walk down a quiet country road. The fair noises faded behind me as I carried on. Crickets chirped in the grass. A light breeze moved through the cornfields. The area felt so isolated that I didn't even see any cars driving by. I was walking at a casual pace, thinking about my choices of fair food, when I heard a whistle. It came from my left, and I saw her again. She was standing under a streetlight along the road. My heart jumped. How did she know I'd be here? I slowed down, and she kept staring at me. Then, raised her hand and waved like before. I didn't want to panic, but every nerve in my body was telling me something was wrong with this woman. I didn't wave this time. I just sped up and walked past her. I could feel her eyes on me while leaving her behind. Seconds later, I glanced back, and she was gone. I kept walking, a bit faster this time. A few minutes later, I again looked back to see if she was following me, but there was no sign of her. Then, I heard the second whistle, this time from my right. That crawling feeling returned. I looked up. She was there again, standing on the side of the road, waving with a death stare. I started to run. I looked back, and she wasn't there anymore. But every few seconds later, she kept appearing on the side of the road. Every time I saw her, she was under the next streetlight, a little closer than before, always waving, never making a sound. It felt like she wasn't walking at all, like she was skipping forward through space. And I have no idea how she did that. It was like a never-ending nightmare. I see her. She waves and then disappears, only to reappear with a creepy whistling sound, and then wave back at me. I realized what a grave mistake I made by interacting with her. By the time I saw Trevor's house at the end of the road, I was sprinting. I burst inside and slammed the door, locking it with shaking hands. My aunt and uncle jumped up from the couch.
There's a clown woman outside,
I gasped.
She followed me home from the fair. She keeps appearing like a ghost.
They exchanged looks, and my uncle grabbed a flashlight and stepped outside, but he saw no one. The next day, they asked around at the fair. Nobody had seen any clown like I described. The organizers said they hadn't hired any performers at all. No one believed me, except me. I remember tugging under bedsheets for the next 2 days after the incident. I didn't leave the room, and I got severe diarrhea as well. But even more than the stomach ache, I was scared the clown would show up inside my room at night. She could show up whenever she wants. Since that day, I stay well away from clowns.